ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Sanhedrin is dedicated by Mr. Zisha Lipschitz in honor of Rabbi Yaakov Metz.
Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Vov. The Gemara says, in explanation of the Mishnah, that originally they used to say that Oisvei Shevius are Posol Le'edus. Subsequently, they changed that, and they said that just Soichre Shvius are Posol Le'edus. So originally, they said that those that gather in the Shvius produce in a manner that contradicts the Halacha and violate the Isurei Shvius, those are Posol Le'edus. And subsequently, they changed that, and they said that just those who do merchandise, those who engage in merchandising with the Shvius produce, they are the ones who are apostles. So why did they change it? So the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, that was Misha Rabu Ha'anosin, which the Gemara defines as the Arnona, which is to say, as the Gemara explains, that the king made a decree that everyone has got to grow and harvest a certain amount of produce each year and give it into the king as a tax, and you had no choice, you had to do that. So once the king instituted this Arnona, so therefore the Rabbanon had to permit the people to grow, to harvest the produce in order to pay it off to the king, and in Mela, after that point, they just said, not that the growers are Shvius apostle, but that the merchants are engaged in merchandising with the Peir Shvius, those are the ones who are apostle. So it appears that once the king instituted this Arnona tax, the Rabbanon had to go ahead and they permitted the people to grow, to harvest the Peir Shvius for the purpose of this tax. Rashi over here speaks out that we're talking b'shvius b'zman hazeh the Rabbanon. In other words, Rashi's bavorning that l'chayra, and this is a point that is made in many achroinim, many meforshim, that just because there's a problem monetarily, you're gonna be getting into issues with the government with regard to tax, so that's matter to do an iser. I mean, the iser of growing, harvesting the shvius produce shloike din is the raisa, and meilo lechayer should be also even if the person will get into trouble, monetary trouble with the government. So Rashi bavorns that, and Rashi says we're talking shvius b'man hazeh, which is only the rabbanon, and the rabbanon heimom v'heim omru that they allowed it in a case where you're going to get into running with the arnon attack of the king. Taisvis actually has two mahalchim. One mahalch is the same as Rashi. We're talking shvius b'man hazeh, which is the rabbanon, and therefore the rabbanon permitted it. And the second mahalch Taisvis actually brings from the Yerushalmi, that it was an actual pikuach nefesh, that because the king demands a tax and they don't have, and they actually are mason that the king could put them to death, Taisa brings you the Shalmi that was in Shumchei Nefesh. Obviously, according to that Mahalach, the second Mahalach of Taisis, based on the Yerushalmi, it will be mutter even if Shvius is deraisa, either the time when Shvius is deraisa, because, of course, Mokom Pekuach Nefesh, it's not a problem, and you are allowed to be oivid the karaka on Shvius. So that's Taisa's second Mahalach. There is a Shaila in the Pshat and the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, in Perek Aleph, brings down this heter of Arnona, and the Rambam doesn't stipulate he's talking dafka with manhazeh, and the Rambam, in any event, even if it is manhazeh, many hold that the Rambam holds the shvius of manhazeh as deraisa, contrary to other rishonim, and according to those, the shvius of manhazeh as deraisa, saivi wouldn't solve the problem of shvius of manhazeh. The Rambam also certainly doesn't mention beferish anything about that it's only mutar b'mokam pekuach nefesh, like Taisa's quotes in the second mahalach from the Yerushalmi. The Rambam just says that misharabu hanosim hitilu malchei akum al Yisrael. The Rambam says to be zireya and to provide for the goyisha armies of the kings. So therefore, they allowed them even on shvius hitiru l'zireya b'shvius dvorim shetzrich alohem avdi hamelach, etc. So again, primarily this question on the Rambam is particularly shver, according to many who hold that the Rambam Shita is the Shia Zanazes deraisa. That's a Shaila in the Medayak and various Rambams. And if it is deraisa, and there's no mention in the Rambam that it's only mutter when there's a Pekuach Nefesh, so what is the Heter Aliba de Rambam? Rather, the Ravid happens to actually argue on this Rambam, and the Ravid says right away, Afanort over there, the Ravid says that the Heter that the Rabbonon gave to be over the Karaka and to harvest from Mokum the Arnona, that was talking, says the Ravid, Mekoimois Shalehziku Bohem Oile Bovel. This is something which in Seder's Roim you have this thing that is Mekoimos, which had a Kedusha Rishonah in Eretz Yisrael, was Man Yehoshua, a broader border of Eretz Yisrael, and Beshas, the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael, there was a smaller number of Yidden, and they did not go back and reconsecrate, they weren't Mekadosh once again, the entirety of the original borders. So those Mekoimos, which are part of the Kedusha Rishonah of the Oretz, and weren't re-sanctified, reconsecrated, they weren't part of the Kedusha Shniyah, so they had Gevissa Dinim, but it was much more Kal, of course, and the Ravid Shita is that in those Mekoimos, the Mekoimos Shaloi Chzikavahim Oile Bavel, the places that had the Kedusha Rishonah, which was bottled, Beshas, the Churban Abayas, and never got reconsecrated. secreted a second time, they had given a certain dina of Eretz Yisrael, but it was more kal, it was only the Rabbanan, and therefore the Ravid says that was the Mokim where Chazal and Meikel, the Mokim to Arnon attacks, they are allowed to grow to harvest and Shvias to repay the king. The Ravid is actually, as you could see, somewhat similar to Rashi and Tosfos first Derech. We're talking about a place as the Rabbanan, according to the Ravid specifically, this Mokim which is the Rabbanan, and there, that's where they allow you to grow and to do the Avodas HaKarka and Shvias in order to pay the Arnon. The argues in the Rambam, because the Rambam obviously doesn't mention a word about that. What is the Pshat in the Rambam? Why is it that according to the Rambam, it's mutter to be over the karaka just because of this issue with the Arnona tax? So the Radvaz there on the page, rather, the Radvaz, Perish on the Rambam, says that the reason is because of Chaye Nefesh, and he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Rabbeinu Samachal Yerushalmi was a Bekoch Nefesh issue, and they'll come to a Sakona for at the hands of the king if they don't pay the tax, so therefore, of course, it's mutter, Mokam Bekoch Nefesh. This Radvaz, Taka brings a thing that's explicit in the Yerushalmi, and Tosfos quotes it over here, but it's no chuk to say the Pshat in the Rambam like that, because the Rambam doesn't mention anything about Bokam Pekoch Nefesh. It's not mentioned that was the Yisrael of the Heter, so it's somewhat schwer to say in the Rambam that that is the Matu in the Das HaRambam. And it's Siv in the Shuvah's Meshiv Dovor has a totally new understanding that he says he's Miyachas to the Rambam. He says the Rambam held you don't have to come on to the other Rishonim, you don't need the Rashi of the Imei that we're talking that it was a time or a Mokam when Shvias is the Rabban, and that's why it's Mutter B'Mokam to Arnona. You don't have to say what the Advaz Toys to say with the Yerushalmi that it was a Mokam Pekoch Nefesh. Rather, the Netziv says that the Rambam understood that the Torah's Isser of doing Avodas HaKarka on Shvias and gathering in the produce, its Torah only asked it Kedei la'asifa l'goyren d'haynu la'achila. In other words, the Torah speaks about eating la'ochlo, speaks about eating the Peir Shvias. So that's where in that context we find certain isurim of Avodas HaKarka for the purpose of gathering and eating. Masha'enkin zokter, masha'enkin mishvil arnona, if it's for the purpose of paying it off to a goyish, a government tax, so there the Torah never assered the gathering the grain and to harvest the grain on Shemitah to gather and take it in. So the Netziv obviously comes up with a bombshell hezber in the Rambam, and the Rambam didn't need to come on to any of the Deus HaRishayim because he held it as a brand new heter deraisa. They say it's not just the Matah Derabonos like Rashi. The Rambam holds that this is a new heter that's Matah deraisa that Vibat the Avodas HaKarka, the harvesting the grain, is all being done for the purpose not of eating for your own consumption, but rather just to pay up the taxes. So for such a case, the Torah never answered. The Emes said the Siv is obviously a huge chiddush, what he says in the Rambam, and you really could ask a question according to that Be'etzem, that what if a person wants to grow lots of stuff in his fields on Shvias and harvest and everything for the purpose of paying off some creditor? You know, he's not going to be harvesting it, he's not going to eat it for himself, he's going to be paying off a creditor. And even if he'll say a Jewish creditor is a problem because the Jew will eat, what if it's to pay off a Goyish creditor? L'chayr, that's lo shamanu. It's certainly not, you don't find any such heter. The Rambam says it's mutter makim anosim where the Goyish government is forcing you, like the Mishnah's Loshin. You don't see it's not mutter stam because they owe some Goy a payment and therefore I'll just grow lots of stuff on Shemitah to pay it off. So what's that? I mean, according to the Netziv, l'chayr, there should really be no chiluk. And if it's taka mutter, if it's not for the purpose of a Jew's consumption, why can't you just do it to pay off a goyish alone? It might have to say pshat ulai in the Netziv that in a chanami, that case of growing and harvesting to pay a goyish loan is taka only also the rabbanon, not the raisa, because the raisa is only v'ochlo for the purpose of consumption for eating. But they are kompanim chazal as the rabbanon and mokem and oines of the tax of the malchus. So there chazal didn't answer even afilu with the rabbanon. That's why you might have learned according to the Netziv. But a kompanim, he's based on this new huge chiddush that he's miyachas to the Rambam, that the Netziv found in the Rambam this thing that Arnona is a head of the raisa, because it means the Avodas HaKarka is not being done for the purpose of the consumption of the Yid. However, you really have to know that there is a question, a bit of a kasha that you could ask on this Yisoid of the Netziv. And that is from a vort that the Beis HaLevi is Mo'ir in the Tshuva, in the Tshuva's Beis HaLevi in Chelek Gimel, the third simon, a very, very long simon. It's actually simon Aleph of the third Chelek, very, very long simon. It's the Beis HaLevi's Tshuva on Shemitah B'zman Hazeh. As you're aware, the Beis HaLevi wrote this Tshuva 100 years ago and more at a time when there was the very, very big tumult, the big fight that they had at that time over Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael. At that time, there was a big Muhammad, and there were those who wanted a Mekel because they said it was so difficult for the farmers to be able to get the fields going, and it was such a hard thing to keep Shvias, and others wanted a very stark Machmir. Beis HaLevi was from the big Machmirim, and he wrote all the very long Tshuva, Shlogging up the Deus HaMekilim. So, over there, in the Tshuva, in the middle of the Tshuva, the Beis HaLevi is more like this. He says that there were those that wanted to say, based on a couple of Marmakimis, that they wanted to say that since the farmers are having a very, very hard time, so the Etzim difficulty in the Hefzid Mammon itself is a reason to make article on Shvius Rabbanon, assuming Shvius is not a Zez Rabbanon, which many places can hold. So they wanted to say that you can make a, and one of the Marmakomis they brought from was this Gemara, from the Arnona. Since the Yisidu of Matir, from Malkum the Arnona tax, and it was so hard to pay, and therefore they were Mako, so May Lahu Adin, you could just say Mako altogether for the farmers to allow them to work on the fields. And Beis Halevi is very stark moicha against this thing, and one thing is Moir is like this. He brings a Midrash Rabbah in the beginning of Vayikra. In the Midrash Rabbah in the beginning of Vayikra, speaks about the Pasik, and Tilim Bercho Hashem Malochov, Gibore Koyach, Oisei Dvor, Lashmoya Bekal Dvoroi, that's the Giborim of Hashem, that they bench Hashem, and they do his work, and then, according to one shot in the Midrash there, is B'Shem Yishvi, it's a Kosa Medaber, it's a reference to those who keep Shemitah, and the Midrash speaks over there about the tremendous Gevura of the farmers, that they don't work the field during Shemitah, etc., etc., which is a very, very difficult thing, and it says over there that the Chayev Arnona of Shosik, in other words, that even though they become the Goyish kings of Chayev them and Arnona, the Arnona tax at the hands of the kings, the Jew is Shosik, the Jew doesn't work the fields, and he manages anyway without working the fields, even though he's Mishayev in this Arnona tax. Yeish Lacha Gibor, God of Mizan Zot the Midrash, is any great Gibor, that's Gibor Rekoyach, Oisei Dvor, Lashmoy Bekal Dvor, a reference to the Shemesh Shviyas. The Beis Halevi says, Lachor, the Midrash is a very big Pella. It's a steer to our clear Gemara here in Sanhedrin Chavov. Over there, the Midrash is saying that even the Mishayev, the Arnona tax at the hands of the king, the Goyish king, they still don't work the field. And here it's Mavor that they were mad here working the fields was because of this Arnona tax that they had to pay. It's a big steer. Says, you Mukhrach to say, said the Beis Halevi, that Geveintluch, even if there's a hardship, and even if you have to pay the Arnona tax, it's usually not mutter for the person to work the field, even though it's a hardship and it's difficult. He says, that case, you have to say our case, and our Gemara is talking either that the Tsar was Dafke Makbah, that you must grow the produce and provide the produce. You're not going to be able to scrape together a few dollar bills there, and pay it off in cash. You have to Dafke grow the produce, so that the Goy is Dafke Makbah on this thing, and there's no other way around it at all, or that it's impossible for Shumoifen to pay Mokam Achers at the base of Levi. That's the matter that Anona tax. Otherwise, even if it's a difficulty, it's a financial hardship, it makes life hard, and the Goy is Matlan on the tax, and Afal Pekain is not a heter on Shvius, and that's exactly Zokter, what it's saying in the Medrash. So Beis Halevi uses this as a smach, it's one of his points that he makes over there, that really, even if it's a difficulty, Afal Pekain, you really have to keep Shemitah, even Mizman Hazeh. Now, that works according to Beis Halevi, that he's going to say it's a only tremendous hardship, and Shvius Mizman Hazeh, etc., and then Amekel, but however, it is a horror on the Netziv shot in the Rambam, because the Netziv claims in the Rambam that the Rambam learned up that the heter are Arnona is a het of deraisa, and even if Shvius is deraisa, it would still be matter welcome to Arnona tax because it's not being harvested and grown for the purpose of the Jew's consumption. It's just to pay off some Arnona tax, and that's the whole purpose. So if that's true, you really have to moir. If that's the case, then lechayra it's etzem heter in the fact that it's being paid for Arnona, and really you shouldn't have the chaluk on the Beis Halevi says that it's fair for the medrash. He's bringing a medrash to Beis Halevi that the yid, even when he's confronted by the Arnona tax and it makes life rough, and he still manages and he doesn't. Not grow the produce and pay a shvias. Why? According to the Siv, there's an intrinsic heter in there, known tax, and it's intrinsically mutter, because it's not for human, for Jews' consumption, it's to give over to the Goy as taxes, so let that be mutter. So where is the case of the Medrash, according to him, which is going to be usher? That's the horror on the Siv, unless you want to say that, similar to what we said before, that even when you have the Siv's heter, there are certain cases, the Chazal Asa Medrabonon, like we spoke before, to pay off a Goyish creditor, Ulai, he's going to mask in Chazal Asa Medrabonon. Likewise, if you're paying off the king's tax, but you have a way around it, you have money from a spare bank account, you could get together the cash without paying, without growing, so then you're not mutter akoponav darbonon, and the case that El Gemara is saying is mutter is a case that they don't answer a filo darbonon, and that's the case where there's a pressing need, and that's the only way that it could solve the Arnona. The Gemara continues, it brings a story with Rish Lakish that he one time accompanied the Chachomim on the trip to go to Ma'aved Shana, and it was a Shviyas year, and while they're going on the trip, they're traveling on the road, so Rish Lakish sees on the side of the road that there's a farmer, an individual, who is pruning branches off of the grapevines. So when it was on Shviyas, so Rish Lakish said to the other Chachomim over there, what's going on with this person? He's pruning the branches, he's being over on Zoymer during the Shviyas year, it's not allowed. So the other Chachomim said to him, Yochaloy Ma'la'ak, Mikael Beis Habad Nitzorach. In other words, that there's really a defense for this person. Perhaps he could just say that he's not doing it for the purpose of pruning and therefore improving the existing vines, which should be usher on Shvius, improving them by cutting away the added wood that's messing them up. So pruning would be usher, but this person could say, La'akhel Beis Habad Nitzorach, actually I want the branches because I'm constructing like a lattice work, kind of a netting to hold the olives, the Beis Habad by the olive press, and therefore that will be mutter if it's just for the purpose of acquiring the wood, to get a hold of the wood, so maybe that's what he's coming to do. So Rish Lakish responded, Halev Yoideya Im La'akel Im La'akel Kolos. In other words, it was a play on words, and he says that the person's heart knows. In other words, Rish Lakish didn't believe this, that's really what it was all about, and he said the person's really knows in his heart whether if that's really his purpose, La'akel or La'akel Kolos, that has a crooked person purpose, and is really being over on Peiro Shvius. Taisus over here goes through a shtickle Torah which is difficult. It's a shver Taisus. The Achronim matters a chasach, and I'd like to go without getting into the whole big tumult in the Achronim. It's very difficult to find a solid mahalach in it. I'd like to go through the basic question on the Taisus and what the Chazanish says about it. Taisus asks the kasha that the Gemara in Masech the Shabbos says that zoyme v'tzorach le'etzim, which is to say that a person who's pruning some trees of his, he's doing it for the purpose because he needs the wood. He needs the wood, and he's doing it for the purpose of the wood. He wants to get the wood. While the ma'aseh he also gains from the pruning itself. The pruning alone is beneficial to him. The fact that the trees are left without that much branches. So he's chayash tayim because of koitzer and because of neiteya. In other words, on Shabbos it will be two different chiyuvim. Koitzer is harvesting the branches. That's koitzer, and neiteya zoyme pruning is a type of subcategory of neiteya, the planting. And therefore, you're chayav for the pruning as well. So what do you see, Zoktaisis? That even if you're doing it primarily for the purpose of wanting the branches, if l'maisa you're benefiting and it's a gain for the purpose of pruning, so you're chayav on Shabbos for the pruning. So the chayav over here also, since he's gaining from the pruning, this individual, even if he's doing it because he wants the wood, needs the wood, afal pikein, he gains from the pruning and it should be over on zoymer for shvius. That Taisis is kasha. The Taisis says that you have to say that he did it in an inyan devada kashila, and as he did it in a way that actually harms the tree, the grapevines in this case, and it was actually apparently not beneficial to the grapevines, it was harmful to the grapevines, so of course in a case like that, you won't be over on Zoymer. Taisus then goes on, and this is the part of Taisus that's actually very difficult. The Taisus says that over here, you're not going to bechayev mishum noiteya, you're not going to bechayev him because of the Zoymer, the planting, Zoymer is pruning, which is similar to planting, you're not going to bechayev for that because he's the harming it. Vashein came by Shabbos, Zokter, Shabbos is a different story, Shani Shabbos, this will be said in Shabbos, you are chayev for the pruning, because Shabbos meleches machsheves osro toiro. That's a special gezeirah kosher that the Gemara learns out of a pasuk in Masechta Shabbos. The Shabbos meleches machsheves is also, which is to say, goal-oriented melacha is that's called meleches machsheves. Goal-oriented melacha that achieves the desired end goal is what we ask it on Shabbos. V'ha mesavida machshavtoi and l'maisa, his purpose, his objective is fulfilled over there in Masechta Shabbos. He actually got a prune tree out of it. He got the wood out of it and he got the prune tree. So therefore his objective is fulfilled. But by Shvius, ain't land, says Octaisis, you're not going to answer by Shvius unless you're Mashbiach the Karak, unless you're improving. Mashain can over here, it's actually a destructive type act. Now, this Taisis, this second part of the Taisis, very, very palatable Taisis, the Marsha as a bombshell kasha, it's very, very hard. The Achrim have a very difficult time answering and explaining the Taisis. The Marsha points out that what in the world does Taisis need to come onto this fancy aside that Shabbos and Melech Machshavas is a Torah? Taisis should have said without any of that a very simple thing. You just told me, Taisus himself just said, that in our Gemara, he's apparently harvesting the wood in such manner that actually messes up and ruins the grapevines. It's destructive to the grapevines. Of course, he won't be over on Zoymer. We didn't over and over on pruning because it wasn't beneficial. Manashenkin in Shabbos, the case apparently was that it was beneficial. If it wouldn't be beneficial, you're not going to be chayav. So apparently it was beneficial to the tree. We're talking about a pruning which was beneficial to the tree. You got it. You did it because you wanted the wood. But Lamaisa, so you got a prune tree out of it. So Shabbos was beneficial and you're chayav. And over here, it's not beneficial with the destructive, and therefore you're potter, finish. Why would you have to come on to say a yosoidistic, a fundamental chiluk between Shabbos and Shavuos and tell me a fancy thing that Shabbos and Melechas Machsheves also Torah? Now the Marsha is Meirich to try to solve this problem based upon an old girsa that he had in the girsa of the Sforim. He's shown him in the old Sforim that the old Sforim had in Toisus a girsa that Toisus at the end of Toisus was asking a kasha that you should be chayev in the case over here in Shavuos of being koitzer b'Shavuos. In other words, in the Chanami, as far as the pruning of Shavuos, we dealt with that. We said it was destructive and it's not a question. However, what about the fact that you're harvesting on Shavuos? and you're taking the wood for the purpose of harvesting the wood and using the wood for the base of bad lattice work, and therefore that's called a koitzer on Shviyas. And the Mashal has an arichos to try to explain that Tosfos was dealing with a question that maybe you should be chayev for the fact that you're harvesting the wood on Shviyas, which itself should be a iser ksira on Shemitah. That's the Mashal's attempt, but Lamaisa, the Rashash here has a bomb kasha, and other Rechonim are very matizach. It's a very, very difficult Mashal, because they say that this old gear said that the Mashal found is surely wrong, because it's impossible to suggest that the Tosfos was asking that you should be chayev over here in Shemitah for harvesting the wood. Why? That the Rashash, because we know based on all the Mashnayas and Masechta Shviyas, that wood does not have any Kedusha Shviyas. And anything that doesn't have a Kedusha Shviyas is no issa to be koitzer. So when you koitzer, when you harvest, you're not intrinsically improving the land. Improving the land on Shviyas is a problem. You can't plow, you can't do things that improve the land. But over here, you're harvesting, that doesn't intrinsically improve the land. The problem over there is taking in the Peir Shviyas, and if you take it in an objectual manner, they're going to hold on to it to Vishmira, it's going to be usher, and then the Ketira will be usher. But that's the hold to take it to harvest and to hold on to things that have a Kedusha Shviyas. But since wood doesn't have a Kedusha Shviyas at all, it's not a produce, it's not a grain, it's a food product, it doesn't have a Kedusha Shviyas b'chlal, or similar to food product, and in Meila, there's no Kedusha Shviyas on wood, there's no problem at all in harvesting it b'chlal, and the Rashash says, really, there's no way to defend l'chayra, the Svarim Yishoran, the Shonat that Marsha found, that with Tosfos was asking koitzer. Instead, you have to say, we have the Girsa, Tosfos was asking from pruning, from what he calls Neteya, and he's asking that you should be over on pruning on Shemitah, and he's Mechalik between Shemitah, it's not a problem because of destructive act, and Shabbos and Lechem Shabbos of the Torah, very, very difficult. Tosfos, like the Mashal asked, L'chor, you don't need anything about Lechem Shabbos of the Torah. You should just simply say that Shabbos was a case that was constructive, and Shemitah was not constructive, was harmful. And this is where the Chazanish comes in. And the Chazanish and Shviyas says a teretz on this Tosfos. A sausage to get teretz. I want to stay over the Chazanish and offer a brief comment to try to offer a little bit of a hesber in the Chazanish. The Chazanish says like this. He says that you must learn Pshat and Tosfos a little bit dochak in the words. You must learn that when Tosfos says it's destructive, Tosfos means to say not it's a mamash outright fully harmful and hazardous and destructive activity, destructive to the vines. That's not what Tosfos means. Rather, Tosfos' kavana is that pruning a vine or even pruning a tree is very, very sensitive and delicate work, and you have to do it in a very precision way. If you don't do it with an exact precision, then it's going to be somewhat harmful, at least harm it at least a little bit. Therefore, the derech is dafka teimakba to do it in a very, very precision manner. Therefore, Zot HaChazinish over here, where the primary objective of the person is not to prune, but the primary objective is for the purpose of acquiring the wood, acquiring the vines. So you're going to do it in a way that's going to be somewhat of a harm to the tree. And even if it's fundamentally largely beneficial and the tree really could use it, the tree could really need it to get some of the excess branches trimmed off of it. Nonetheless, since you did it in that non-precision manner, therefore it's somewhat harmful. Therefore, it's not the derech to do it in the way that is somewhat harmful. The Meir HaChazanish says this is where Tosfos is making a chiluk in his Shviyas and Shabbos as follows. So the Chazanish, as far as Shviyas goes, to do the pruning in a way which is not precision, that's not the derech, and therefore that's not what we call the malacha of pruning as far as Shviyas goes. We don't refer to it that way because pruning the derech has to do it in a way that's precise and is totally beneficial, not at all harmful. And Mela, that's not the Zoymer of Shviyas as the Torah Asered. The Zoymer of Shviyas, the Torah Asered, is the derech hamlocha, which is dafka in the precision manner. Not that you're hacking it away to get at the wood and the vines that you need and you just end up with a prune tree. Ma'ashen, can on Shabbos, Sotah Chazenish, with Shabbos we look upon the objective is fulfilled and with the goal is achieved. And therefore, on Shabbos, we're going to say that since fundamentally speaking, the person Lamaisa gained a lot because he ended up with a prune tree. So even though it was somewhat harmful and it wasn't precise, and normally you would never do it in this manner because normally you want to be totally precise in a way that's not at all harmful. However, since on Shabbos, we're looking primarily at whether the objective is achieved, so therefore, consequently, on Shabbos, we're going to chayev you for the fact that it was fundamentally a beneficial act, beneficial in terms of pruning the tree, even though there was some slight harm element in there, which means that normally a person would not do it in this manner. Just to take out one moment, just to offer a very brief explanation here, the din of Melachas Machsheves HaSatayra on Shabbos, it tells us, and this is used repeatedly in the Sugyas and in the Rishonim and Masechta Shabbos, Melachas Machsheves means goal-oriented, focused labor. Now, Gevendlich, usually, this Gveiras HaKos of Melachas Machsheves by Shabbos, Bederach Chlal usually is used to patter activities on Shabbos that don't fall within the parameters. For example, a Mekalka, a somewhat destructive act, is not goal-oriented, and it's not Melachas Machsheves and potter on Shabbos. For ain't tzricha l'gufo, if it's not done for the usual purpose, therefore it's not called purposeful and focused, so therefore it's not malachas machsheves and therefore you're going to be potter. So usually Melech Masheves limits the parameters of the Isurei Shabbos and tells us that if it doesn't fulfill the guidelines of Melech Masheves, then it's going to be potter. However, we do find in one place in the Sugya, in Masechet Baba Kama Daf Samach, where the person Gemara actually uses Melech Masheves as a broadener of the parameters of Shabbos. The case over there is the case of Zoyer of Ruach Mesayosoy. The person throws up the grain with a chaff into the wind, and the wind winnows the chaff out of the grain. That's Zoyer winnows, loch of winnowing. And even though the Gemara says usually we would have said that since it was the wind that did it, you just sort of set it up, but the wind did it. Normally we would say that that's not a ma'isa iser deraisa, but over here from Ba'alocha we say, Melech Masheves Asur Torah, and therefore Yechayev. So in other words, this is one place in Shas where the idea is, even if you did something which Geveintlech, we would not have said that the act is fully attributable to you, but since as a goal-oriented act, we say that ultimately this is the kind of activity that does bring about the desired objective, the desired goal, because you throw it up and you set it up in such a matter that the natural wind is going to winnow. Therefore, it doesn't have to be a ma'isa gomor because it could be a goal-oriented act, and you're going to be chayev as melech v'shevet ha'teira. So you find over there in Baba Kama, melech v'shevet ha'teira is going to mechayev you and broaden the parameters and mechayev something which would not ordinarily have been mechayev you. What the Chazanish is saying over here, bekitzer, I just want the Mekatzer here, the Chazanish is saying over here is that even if normally we would say that this is not what usually people do, they don't prune in a not fully precise manner, they're afraid of what's going to do to the tree, and therefore normally this would not have been something which a person would have done. And it's not called Zoymer, this imprecision pruning, as far as Hilchos Shviyos goes. But on Shabbos, since Shabbos goes by goal-oriented, and since the goals of pruning are met in more or less almost the same manner, the difference is a slight difference, which is not really that important, that significant, in terms of the slight harm that's accrued. So therefore, the Chazanish is saying that as far as the Zoymer of Shabbos, we say the desired end goal is achieved, and we don't care about the fact that there is a small harm that it came to the tree, and may look consequently with Mechayev Yod Zoymer for Shabbos out this Yisoid of Meleches Machsheves Asatir. And that seems to be what the Chazanish is saying in the Das HaToisis. The Gemara at this point gets off into a whole story to tell us about Shevna and Chizkiah, and I'd like to take out a few moments to explain a little bit about this Maisa. Now, as you know, Chizkiah was a great tzaddik. He was the Melech of Yehuda in Yerushalayim. He was being besieged by the great mighty armies of Sancheiriv, which surrounded the walls of Yerushalayim, and he had apparently this competitor named Shevna, which the Gemara tells us that Shevna was very charismatic. He apparently was a very, very erudite, great Talmud Chacham, a very scholarly, and he had, when he would say his shir, he had a huge number of Talmidim, even a greater number of Talmidim at his shir than Chizkiah had his shir, which made Chizkiah nervous. Maybe the Gabon Shem is going to go Basaroiv, and we're all going to end up losing to Sancheiv. So the Gabon Shem reassured him, and he told him, no, that's Kesher Rishoyim, who, you know, the Shevna is really a Rasha down deep, even though it was not obvious at the time. He was a big scholarly Talmud Chacham, and you couldn't tell. Nonetheless, down deep, Shevna is really a Rasha, and this Kesher Rishoyim, who, and Einim and Minyan doesn't count, and therefore they don't outweigh you. The Gemara then goes on, and it says a whole story over there. Shevna wanted to actually surrender to Sancheiriv, which was a very bad thing, and it was a lack of Emunah in Hashem. He wanted to surrender. Chizkiah didn't want to surrender, and the end was the whole story over there. Shevna decided to lead his people out of the walls of the city and surrender to Sancheiriv. He comes out of the walls and Gavriel slams the gate behind Shevna, so he's left the only one outside the fence. And the Gemara tells us how Nebuchadnezzar ends up killing this Shevna with a terrible, gruesome, and horrible death. The Gemara says that Shevna was a Baal Hanoa Hoya. A Baal Hanoa. Rashi has Tupshotim, either a person constantly involved in the pleasures of the world, or specifically Hanoa of Mishkav Zohar. Rashi says Shevna was a Baal Hanoa. And the Gemara dashes it from the Pasuk, Leich Bo El Hasoichin Hazeh. Now, just to take out, we don't have a lot of time, but I'd like to take out a few moments to explain. This person, Shevna, is in Tanakh mentioned very, very briefly. This is in the Melachim Bay. In the Yeshaya, primarily Yeshaya Perek Chof Beis, this person Shevna is mentioned, and it's very, very cryptic. A few series of psukim over there in the Tanakh over there in Yeshaya, the Gemara actually quotes a psukim right over here. It seems that Shevna was a very important individual. It's Shevna Asher Al Haboya, Metzudas. Either he was the person in charge of the treasuries, the Metzudas says, of the king's palace, or Rashi says, of the Beis HaMikdash. A very, very important individual, and apparently very arrogant, and Balgaivan, he got into his head, and he went, and the Gemara alludes to this over here, right here in the Gemara as well, that he went to make for himself a kever among the kevorim of the Malchei Beis Dov. The Pasuk says, the Ebishter says, Techshevno in Yeshaya Perichov Beis, and it's quoted here, Malachofoy, Umilachofoy, who do you think you are? He chatzavto lechofoy, kever, that you made yourself a kever, choitzve, meroim kivroy, that you made for yourself on the highest places, that's b'mokon the kivri Beis Dov, you made for yourself a kever, and you think you're the most arrogant big shot, and hine Hashem, taltelcha, taltelo gover, v'oitcha otoy, the Pasuk is quoted by here as well, the Ebishter is going to cause you to move around, he's going to throw you a tremendous throw, etc., etc. Oitcha otoy, the Gemara, by the way, Darshan's over here, that he got tzoras. Now, in the Tanakh, it's rather extremely unclear who this Shevna was and what his objective was in making this kever for himself. The Gemara over here fills in the story in a very, very big way. And the Gemara rather tells us that Shevna was an actual competitor to Chizkiah, and you know, his shiurim were more impressive and more incisive, and he had more of a charisma to him, and more people was nimshach after Shevna, and moreover that he was lacking in emunah and betochen apparently, and he wanted to surrender to Sancheiriv. The emes is Tosfos in Yuma asks Astira about this person Shevna, was he good or was he bad? In the pasuk in Yeshaya Chof Beis and in our Gemara, it's indicated that Shevna was a very bad person and a balgaivan, etc. Tosfos taines that we have Astira to that because apparently the same person Shevna is mentioned in Yeshaya Perik Lamed Vav apparently as a good person. He was one of the individuals who heard out the arrogant words of Rav Shoke, who was crying out the arrogant message from Sancheiriv about how he steamrolled over all the different kingdoms and all the different deities, and Chalil who did the same thing to Eretz Yisrael and to Rabbeinu Shalom Chas V'Shalom. So they hear this words, the people, Shevna with the others, they hear these terrible words of Rav Shoke, and they rend their garments, they rise to Kriya, and it says over there, Chilkiah, Elkyokim, and Chilkiah, and Shevna, and Yoyach. So Shevna, it refers to him as Shevna HaSoifer, Shevna the scribe, and they went in front of Chizkiah, Keruei Begodim, with the garments terissen, with the garments ripped from having heard the Chilkiah Gidduf of Rav Shoke, the Agiduloy as Divir Rav Shoke. So it seems that Shevna is a good person, he was a scribe, and he was a good person who tore his garments. So Taisa has to steer on this, was Shevna good or bad? Taisa and Yuma brings down two mahalachim. One mahalach is Trei Shevna Havu, there was two Shevnas. There was a bad one who was in charge of the bias, Shevna Asher al-Habayas, and he was bad, and he was a big shot, and a Bal Gaiva. And there was also a good one, an independent person, was a scribe, Shevna Asoifer, and that Shevna was Grado, a good person. And well, that's Taisa. However, Taisa brings in a second mahalach that you could say that this Shevna was a good person who unfortunately was Nepach L'ra. And Taisa, even though the Psukkim are out of order, Taisa says, and he's mentioned as a good person. Second, nonetheless, he started out good, he turned into a Balgaivi, he became full of himself, and he turned into a bad person and a competitor to Chizkiah. And now at Gemara, we have the unfortunate and very sorrow end of this Shevna, who according to Taisa's second Mahalach started out good. There is a Abarbanel in Malachim. The Abarbanel brings the whole Sugya of Gemara here, and he taines another Mahalach against the Taisa's. The Abarbanel taines that the correct way to understand this Shevna, according to the Das Chazal, is that Shevna was a hypocrite. Was Ein Toicha Kibaroi. In other words, that he was putting on an act the whole time. He looked very pious and he looked like a great erudite Tamat Chocham, and he's saying the Gevaldige Shiurim that everybody was more impressed with. And nonetheless, on the inside, he was full of gaiva, Zokta Ababinel, trying to make himself into the great person, making himself, setting himself up as a kever, like the Gemara says, among the greats. So, but he had to put on a show the whole time, and that's why when he heard the Giduf of Rav Shoke and he heard the terrible words, so he rent his garments, he came in front of Chizki, he looked good, he put on an act, but the whole thing, Bemis, was an act, Zokta Ababinel, until finally was in this galut from Soif, the inner essence of what Shevna was really like. That's what Ababinel learns. And the emes is that you saw that Ababinel says that Shevna was an Ein Toicha Kibaroi, he was a person putting on an act. We find even in the Mefarshim Afanorot over here that they see that as a big yesoid in understanding the sugya of the Shevna. The Iyun Yankov over here, on the bottom of the Iyun Yankov, speaks about the Gemara that Shevna Bal Hano Hoyo. The Gemara says Shevna, Rashi says, a person who is pleasured himself, who is also in the Tai voice and the Hanois of Oilum Hazeh. The Zonkta of them, the Iyun Yankiv, that makes him the Hepuch of Chizkiah and the Hepuch of the Anshei Chizkiah, the Dershel Chizkiah, which Chazala made on them, the Gemara says later in Perik Chelek, that they were constantly learning Torah even in this difficult tough times and difficult hardships and distress. stress, and nonetheless they were constantly working and working on Amal B'Torah, and that's all they looked for. Mashenkin Shevna Zokter, who on the outside look like a Talmud Chacham, Aber Loi Hoisa Torah Sayrach Min Asofav Alachutz, Zokter Iyun Yankiv. His Torah was superficial, it was lip service, but the emes on the inside, what didn't fill him up, it didn't touch him up, and the inside he was just really looking for Hanois, and that's why his Torah wasn't able to be Megan on him to protect him and to stop him from the suffering that came to him. The emes, Yankiv seems to be alluding, without saying it befeirish, he seems to be making a reference to a Yesoi that Rashi in Yeshaya, Perek Ches, the Rashi in Yeshaya really brings down the name of the Medrash. So Rashi in Yeshaya says like this, that Shevna v'siyosai rotsu limud b'chizkiyo, they wanted to rebel against Chizkiyo, Rashi says in Yeshaya Perek Ches, shem moasu boy, because they scorned him, they were mamayis in him. Why, Zokt Rashi? Al sheru'uhu shaloi hoya boycha b'sholcha malochim, because he didn't have the fancy table of the king and the five-course dinners and the fanciest foods. Elo, what was Chizkiyo's life? What was Chizkiyo's life like? Oyche litro yorok for osuk b'toyre, Zokt Rashi from Chazal. Chizkiyo was oyche litro yorok for osuk b'toyre. He had a little bit of vegetables, and that was the whole ganze shulcha malochim of Chizkiyo, little vegetables, and he was osuk b'toyre. That was Chizkiyo's entire life. And all of Nema, Zokt Rashi and Chazal, tzaddik oyche l'soy v'nafshay. That tzaddik, Chizkiyo is a tzaddik, he eats just to fill himself up with a little bit of food, to satiate himself, and that's it. He wasn't involved in the shulcha malochim. But the Shevna, they looked at him and they scorned him. Vero is Pekach ben Ramalyo. Pekach ben Ramalyo was the head of the Amalchus Aseris HaShvatim at the time. And Pekach, he lived the kingly lifestyle. Oychel aboyim saw goizolis bekenuach sudu, Zokt Rashi, that he used to eat for dessert. He ate 40 saw of fancy birds. And vohayu malizim al chizkiyo vohoymim zeh hogan liois melech. And this is what Shevna and his people said. This person who doesn't even know how to have the fancy table of a king, he doesn't compare to Pekach and his fancy 21-course dinners. So how could he possibly roy for a king? So that's what Rashi says. So the Iyun Yankiv uses this cook on Shevna, and he says that Shevna is a person who is able to say the fancy sharp shiurim, and it sounds good, but it's all in teicha gabari on the inside. All he's looking for is tanoz anoz and tanugelim hazeh, and that's the hebach hagomer of Chizkiyo. The Chizkiyo, his Torah was harain and harain. It was in the atzmius. It defined him. And Chizkiyo, there was nothing else for him. This fancy shulchan malachim didn't mean a thing for him. He ate a little bit litra yorok, and he was osik b'toyra, and that's what all life meant for Chizkiyo. The Meshech Chochma in Vayikra focuses on the Gemara here, Oitcho Otoy, the Gemara Darshan from the Pasuk over here, that Shevna was loko b'tzoras, that he got tzoras. So the Meshech Chochma says a couple of nekudas. He says, if you look at the Hemchech HaSugi here, so the Gemara says that Shevna left the city of walls of Yerushalayim to go out to Sancheiriv, and the Malo slammed the door, and Sancheiriv said, Achunchi komachaychus bon, they're just laughing at me. The Meshech Chochma says, the Pshat Derain is that Sancheiriv thought that the reason that Shevna was outside the city is because since he was loko b'tzaras, the halacha is in Mitzayra, is Mishtala Chutzlegim B'machnis, and Mitzayra is not allowed to remain in Yishalayim. So since Shevna had tzaras, he thought that was why Shevna is outside the city. But Shevna, instead of admitting that, he made up a whole fancy story about he's going to lead a whole large numbers of people outside to surrender to him. In the meantime, it's just making a mockery of me. So the Meshech Chochma, he thought that Shevna was just thrown out because of the tzaras. So the Meshech Chochma says that that's why the Gemara says about Shevna that Ebrish is Metaltelcha, Metaltela Gover. The Gemara says Tultuli de Gavra Koshim de Itzer. It didn't shut them before Shem over here. Why are we assuming that for a man to have to wander around is more difficult for a woman? Taltelo Gover, the wanderings of a man. Meshech Chochma says Al Pidarikoy that you could learn up that what it's referring to is a Metzayra that's being Nishtala Chutz Megimel Machnas, that's harder for a man than for a woman, because the number of different dinim of Metzayra Muchlot that the Gemara dashes that they only apply to a man and not to a woman. So Priya and Prima, for example, the halacha of rending one's garments, the halacha of having the long hair, all these different halachas about a mitzvah only apply to a zohar, not to an akeva. So that's Taltelo Gover, Tatula de Gavra Kosha, he says, refers to the Shiluach Mitzvah, which that's what Shevna was stricken with. And the Mele, he was ended up stuck with Taltelo Gover, sent out in the manner of a man mitzvah, which is more chomer than the woman mitzvah's tzaras that she's afflicted with. The Shlomaisa, the aside of tzaras, is Mavur, a number of Sforim, Rebel Shuwain Shab, Zachon of Racha, and the Eni Yisrael has a shtickle on it to explain this point. that the Yesod HaTzaras is, and the mensch has an inner kilkel, a kilkel haruchni that's within the nefesh ha'odam. It doesn't necessarily appear in the chutz, and the outside it looks like a sheina mensch, and he looks great, and he looks beautiful, and mainly on the inside, the person is in ganzen mekulkel, and whole fadorban on the inside, there's ruchni, is the sword on the inside. So Tzaras is, that's what Rav Elche Weinschab talks about, Tzaras is the coming to the surface of the kilkel ha'pnimi that was already within the mensch. So the Ebrister shows it on the surface. The mensch, his flesh begins to die on the surface, it turns white. The syroids begin to die and they turn white. So that's the kilkel ha'pnimi, which is bekel ha'chutz, and comes out and becomes visible to the chutz. Rav Elche Weinschab says over there, that's a chesed. The Ebrister is enabling the person to see what kind of kilkel, what kind of deadness took place with it, it took hold within the inside of him. He'll see it comes out to the outside, and he could come and see and could perhaps deal with it and come to do a tshuva. In the case of Shevna, we have this Yisoy, the way that the various Meforshim bring it out, that the Yankee brings it out, that Shevna was in Gansin Fadobin on the inside all along. His Torah was Torah, Hoysloy, Hoyselam, and Asafa Velachutz, like the Yankee says. It was all superficial and all lips of it. The Kilkel was tremendously Mekolkel, tremendously destroyed, Fadobin on the inside. The Ebishter finally causes the Tzaras to come out. The Tzaras fits very well with this Yisoy that the Yankee was bringing out. Tzaras is the Kilkel Apnimia of the Mensch that comes out and is finally visible on the surface, and that was the Soif of Shevna, when that inner Kilkel that was within him all along finally came and it was Bekeya and penetrated to the Chutz. The Gemara on Amud Beis speaks about the psulei edus that are in the mission of the various people that are engaged in these activities, the pasulam la'edus, and the Gemara says, kulam tzerichim hachroze. In other words, they don't become pasul la'edus until Bezdin makes an announcement in Bezdin, and they announce that these people are hereby nifsal, disqualified from edus, and from then on they're pasul. That is, until there was a hachroze made by Bezdin, even if they did do, and it's verifiably known to the Bezdin that they did do these activities that pasul them, afal pikein, they're not pasul yet until you have the official announcement in the Bezdin. The Rishonim here speak out, Rabbi Yonason Leniel speaks it out, and others, and it's brought in the Poiskim as well, that only applies to Psulim Drabonon, like the case that we have over here, Mesach Bekuvi and the others, that these are Psulim Drabonon. So by Psul Drabonon, we say that he's not Pasul if he didn't make a Hachroza. Masha Inkem by Psul Deraisa, people who did a Aveir Deraisa, that there, the halacha is, and they did a force in the Aveir Deraisa, that the Pasul Eidus Menat Torah, over there, the halacha is that even without a special Hachroza announcement on the part of Bezin, they're intrinsically Nivsal. What is the chiluk between the posel de'edus de'raisa and posel de'rabonon? Why is dafka the posel de'rabonon need a hachroza? So this Ben Yonison speaks out, and it's important in the poiskim as well, that the chiluk is that the reason why the rabonon instituted, they were mesakein, that you're not posel without a hachroza of a bezin, is because of pseid de lekuchos. In other words, this is to say that this person is engaged in this type of iser activity that people are not going to know, and they're going to chasme him, they use him as a signatory on a document, I'm going to buy a field, and he'll be one of my signatories, one of my edim, and then it's going to turn out later on he was really possible edus, I'm going to be totally messed up, he'll be completely ruined because he used this fellow as a signatory on his shtar. So because of Seyed L'kucho, it's Chazal instituted that you're not going to be nifsal la'edus until we have the achroz of a bezin, and once bezin announces it, everybody knows, and therefore the l'kucho could all stay away from using this person. That's the svara behind the din of kulan tzricham achroza. So of them zakte beni yenison, that doesn't apply by various deraisa, which I'm a forcing as a vera, because everybody's going to know that this person did the Aveira and it's before it's some with the absolute clarity that this is a terrible Aveira and would pass on the Eidus. And in Mela, but even without the Achrod of the Bezdin, the person like Kach knows to stay away from such individuals, does an Aveira before Semes Teresa, and that's why in such a case Chazal didn't Mesakein, the special din, that you're not possible until the Achroza. The Birkei Yosef in Choshe Mishpat Simon Lamed Dalet brings down a machloikas among the Gdoli Achroinim, benegeya to whether these people who are apostle Eidus in our Mishnah, and they need a hachroza, without the hachroza they're an apostle, whether they're able to testify an Eidus of Isor in Bezdin, whether something is mutter or Osir, an Eidus of Isor, or does it take a hachroza to disqualify them from Eidus of Isor, or do we say that from Eidus of Isor they're intrinsically disqualified because of the Maisa Isor they did, even without the hachroza? The Svara behind this idea would be, Zot the Birkei Yosef, because since the whole reason why Chazal Mesakein did not apostle to the hachroza is al pseid de lekuchos, so that applies by monetary financial law, where people are going to use these people as Eidim and worried about that. Mashen came by Yisrael law, where there's no concern. The person comes in and says it's Osir, whatever he comes and tells us about it, Yisrael, so he told us about it. There's no pseid de lekuchos by Yisrael, and therefore, consequently, Zot the Birkei Yosef, that the opinion of the Ma'arit is, in fact, that by Eidus Isser. These psul, the Masach HaBekuvi and the Abafricha Yoinim and the others are intrinsically possible right from the moment that they define that they did it, even if there was not yet any Hachroza, in contradistinction to the Din Mamnis, which from Mamnis Chazal HaMasach came, they're not possible till the Hachroza. However, the Bekhi Yoisir says that that's Roiv Poiskim, which he brings in the Marashdam, he brings in the Marin Leib, G'doyli Achroinim, that Roiv Poiskim hold of not Machalik. We made across the board Din, that V-Balt that we find that we had a reason by Dini Mamnis to say that the aid is not possible yet unless you are Machra the Benzin, so he said the same thing across the board by Isser as well, and consequently, as far as Isser goes also, if there was not yet a Chroza Bezin, even if Bezin knows the guy is a Masach HaBekuvi, etc., they could still accept his Eidus of Isser in Bezin. Of them, Zokta Beki Yosef as follows. He brings down that the Knesset HaGdoyla, one of the G'doyle early Achroinim, the Knesset HaGdoyla says that we know that when a person does various Averois like Masach HaBekuvi, Mefricha Yoinim, etc., so these have a Nafkemina, not just that they pass you from Eidus, but another Nafkemina as well as they pass you from a Shvua, because from now on, if you'll be a litigant in such a way that you would normally have to make a Shvua to support your claim, we can no longer believe that your Shvua is believable, because you're obviously a person does Averis for gain, and in Mela, maybe you take make a Shvua Shov for gain as well. So therefore, we don't allow you to make the Shvua and you lose the case. The other makes a Shvua, there's different halachas in the Gemara, but upon a person who's Choshed a Shvua is not allowed to make a Shvua. Zok the Knes HaGdoyla, that even though the Psul Eidus doesn't kick in until you have the Achroz of a Bezdin, but that's all because we're worried about Pesed the Lekuchos, like the Rishonim speak out. But Masha Ein Kain, as far as the inability to be Nishba, the fact that you call the Choshed Ashuasa, because we know you're a Mafrich Yoinim or the like. So there, even if there was not yet any Achroz of a Bezdin at all, that's just a personal din as far as whether the ability of the litigant to make a Shvua, or we'll make him unable to make a Shvua. That's not a question of Lekuchos, there's no Lekuchos involved to that. So since there's no question of Pesed the Lekuchos, we say that if a person is known to be Mafrich Yoinim or the like, so as far as disqualifying him for an aid, he won't disqualify until he gets Achroz of a Bezdin. Mashenkin, as far as preventing him from being able to make a Shvua to defend his case in court, that would prevent him immediately, even if there was not yet an Achroz of a Bezdin, because as far as his own Shvua goes, there's no issue of Pesed the Lekuchos. That's the Knesset HaGdoyla. It's Zokta Beki Yosef of them, that the Knesset HaGdoyla is not Mestaver. To make that Chiluk, Zokta, is not logical. Why? Because if we really were going to be subdividing and going with that kind of logic and saying that in those cases and those particular scenarios where it really is logically relevant to talk about Pesed the Lekuchos, so then I say you need a Hachroza, and only then, if we would have said that, then we would have gone with the Shita that we said before that held that even by Eidos itself, Benegir to an Eidos Isser, I'll disallow him from appearing in Bezin even before there was a Hachroza, because Eidos Isser is not Negir to Lekuchos, and yet we see that Roiv Poiskim, or even Leib and others, Roiv Poiskim held that we don't make these distinctions, and once we had to say, because of Pesed Lekuchos, we had to say, at least for financial halachos, financial edus, that you're not possible until with machros and bezdin to disqualify you. So we said that that applies across the board. Once it was said, it applies across the board, and there's no psul for edus iser before hachroza either. So therefore, logic tells me, Zokter, that I'm not going to make the distinction between get a shvua either. And who are the get a shvua? I'm going to say, as well, Zokter Beki Yosef, that you're not going to be nifsal for making a shvua, even if you're known to be a mafricha yoinim masach bekuvia, until bezdin makes their hachroza that you're possible. Until they make the hachroza, will allow you to make a shvua in bezdin. In fact, Zokter Beki Yosef, this is Taka Mavur in the Tashbeit and the Chavis Yor, Gedolei HaPoskim, that they do say this thing, that even when you get a shvua, a person who's known to be a masach bekuvia the like, is not nifsal for making his own shvua to support himself, unless and until there was a hachroza of bezdin, and this is against the sheet of the Knesset HaGdoyla, and we're going to say that even for purpose of Shvua, you're not Nifsal unless it was already announced in Bezin. Now, the over is that there is a Chedushi HaRan that really speaks out in the Sugi Chedushi, it's on the Chofhei, the Chedushi HaRan, that the Ran says, Klor, actually, that when you get to Shvua, we do say that you're immediately Nifsal from being able to make that Shvua even before Bezin made the Achroza. And the truth is, Beki Yosef alludes to this Ran, he makes reference to the Ran briefly, but he points out, correctly really, that if you read the Ran very carefully, you'll see that the chiluk that the Ran made between Eidus and Shvua was not based upon the logic of Knesset HaGdoyla, was not based upon the fact that a Shvua there's no question of Pesed Lekuchos anyway, so you might as well pass you right away for a Shvua. That was not the logic. Rather, the Ran goes with a different logic, and there is some question in the Heintiges Forum to understand what the Ran meant to say. The Ran is on Daf Chof Hey Amud Beis, and the Ran says as follows over there. So the Ran, Benegeya Teshvua, where the question is, are you a choshud? Are you suspect of lying for the gain? So there, the moment that we know that you're a frichi yoinim with the like, we do suspect you of lying for gain. You are a choshud. We have to suspect the shvua, and therefore we won't allow you to make the shvua in Bezin to support yourself because you're a choshud that you're lying. Chen Chshad Zok, that take place immediately. The moment he did the aver, you know he did the aver, you know he's suspect from here on in of lying even with a false oath. As far as Eidus goes, it's a question of whether the Eidus comes at Eid Posel, and that's Ein Lonu Lepoisloi Ad Sheachrizu Olav Shehu Posel. As far as relabeling him as an Eid Posel, that we don't have any Chaloy Shem Eid Posel that's Chal on him until it's announced in Bezin that he gets labeled the label of an Eid Posel, and then only from then is there a problem accepting his Eidus. Masha'in came to Negeya to Shvu, which is a question of whether he's suspect of lying and swearing falsely. So you have to know, you have to have the suspicion the moment that you know that he is a Mefricha Yoinim or an Oivra Veir. Then is the chiluk that the Ran makes. I saw something of chiluk. The chiluk is elaborated on by Avdol Pavarsky over here, who works to explain what the Ran meant to say, what was the svara he was saying. Rav Pavarsky explains, and this bends from the same Nakuda as Omidon, also in the Gvuras Yitzchok of Yitzchok Sorotskin, the same thing, that they both speak out that in order to pass on an aid, for an aid to come in and say we're going to reject the testimony of the aid of the aid, you have to relabel the shim of the mensch of the gavra and make him into an aid apostle. Calls man, you haven't relabeled the shim of the gavra, there's a din that you have to accept the aidos of an aid. Masha ein kein b'negei to shvua, it's not a question of relabeling the gavra, it's just a question of shvua geveintlich as a beer that he's made. You made a shvua, people usually don't lie. So the shvu is a beer, they don't lie on an oath. So the shvu is a beer, you must be telling the truth. Yeah, that shvu is not a good beer if the person is nechshad that he would lie, swear falsely. So therefore, by shvu, it's a question of whether the entity, the ma'isa shvu that the person is making is a choshud dik a shvu, is a choshud dik me swearing falsely. And masha'in came by the case of the aid is a question of whether we relabel the gavra that the person is called an aid posel. Meila, they say that, that's what Pavarsky says unto others, that benegeya to aid is a question of relabeling the shem. And since chazal for reasons of their own, because they were not going to change that shem of the mensch until the hachroth of the bezdin. So therefore, until the hachroth of the bezdin, the person that didn't get the halois shem, he wasn't re-stamped, so to speak, as an eid posel, is still an eid kosher. Mela, therefore, he's still an eid kosher. He could say eidus. Masha'in came b'negei to shvua. It's a simple question of whether the shvua is believable or not. Is it a believable shvua, a reliable shvua, or not? So my issue of this is not a reliable shvua because it's suspect of having been said falsely because the person doesn't take these things seriously. And Malcolm, this mensch, he doesn't make them seriously. We could have monetary gain. So it's impossible to accept this shvua, and for that it's not a question of stamping the person and relabeling the mensch, and that's why the Ran held that the shvua is intrinsically going to be rejected the moment that we know that the person did the aveir. The Bitzuk Zerotskin is moist to this, that he has, but you see over here an important Nakuda. That if an aid comes into Bezdin and he says an Eidus, we don't start asking ourselves, maybe based upon this person's past, we have to suspect him that he would lie and say false testimony in court. You don't ask that question. He says, if you would ask that question, then actually the Eidus over here would be exactly the same thing as the Shua. The same way we would say, well, the Shua is suspect of not merely being a believable Shua, so therefore we're not going to accept it. Maybe the Eidus or Eidus is the same thing. We know he's an Oveve, we know he's a Masach Bakuvia, so maybe the Eidus or Eid is suspect, and therefore it's suspected and we can't accept it. So the name, by Eidus, there's a Gzeres HaKosov that you mechuyev to give the Eidus a Cheskas Kashrus, unless you have a Siba and you have a Koyach and Din to relabel the mensch as an Eid Posel Machmas, the fact that he's a Rosh HaDechomo, so he has these Givissa Aveirois, which are going to relabel him, the mensch, as an Eid Posel. Because now we haven't relabeled the mensch as an Eid Posel, we don't question the veracity of the Eidus. Maybe it's not so believable because the person has a past. We don't say that. If he has a Chaloisha made kosher, his Eidus has to be accepted in Benzin. Mashenk in Shvua Zok, the Shvua works Andish, but Shvua, the Halacha is that the person makes the Shvua, and we look at the Shvua, and geveintloch, if we don't have any reason to suspect it, so we assume that the shvua is a beer that he said the truth, and immediately accept the shvua. Masha'in kein, if we do have reason to suspect, then the shvua doesn't carry the believability that a shvua has to be carried with it, and immediately therefore the shvua is a weakened shvua, and therefore is not going to be able to do the beer that the shvua has to do, if the mensch is a choshed, because the shvua becomes a choshed like a shvua, even if we haven't relabeled the mensch to give him a different label. That's why, by Eidos, it's a question of whether the mensch's shem was nishtana into a shem eid posel, and that doesn't take place till the Hachrosa, Masha'in came by Shmua, where even before the, if any kind of Shem was Nishtana of the Mensch, Afal Pikein, we have a Chashad upon the veracity, acceptability of the Shmua, and Mele the Shmua is not accepted the moment that we know that he's a Masach HaBekuvya, Mefricha Yoin.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Mara Meklemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.